Chapter 1. Nobody spoke. The bridge was dead silent, not even gasps of surprise. Everyone was too shocked to say anything, holding their breath, waiting for something. Smythe broke the silence.
Bloody hell.
Jeremy Smythe was a man of few words. That time he spoke for everyone. You know how sometimes you hate to ask a question because you're afraid you already know the answer and you won't like it? Yeah, I had to ask anyway. Skippy, I decided to address the most immediate problem first, partly because I didn't want to think beyond the immediate problem. If Opie is still dangerous, should we eject it? As I asked, I cringed. That is something I should have considered. Skippy insisted we keep Opie's canister stuffed in a toilet to show his disdain for the thing. That was funny at first, and it made Skippy happy. It also was just plain stupid and unprofessional, and I should have stopped it. Opie belonged in an escape pod, or stuffed into the nose cone of a high-speed missile so we could eject it far away quickly. That screw-up is 100% on me. I had trusted Skippy, and I should have known his massive ego was affecting his notoriously poor judgment.
Huh?
No, Joe. That hateful thing is dead now.
Wait, what?
Opie is dead, yes.
You are?
My brain was still processing that the elders were coming back. Absolutely certain of that? As certain as I am that this entire mess is all my fault, yes. It was weak already, and sending out the distress signal pulse inside the wormhole killed it. That is too bad.
That's bad? How?
Because I wanted to kill the rotten thing.
Should we toss it overboard anyway?
No, it's possible, he sighed, that I might learn something useful from examining its canister.
Whoa,
I held up a hand. Do not do that. If you're thinking of doing something stupid, we are sending that freaking canister into the nearest star. Remember what happened the last time you poked around in the canister of a dead AI?
Well, this is totally different, numbskull.
It was amazing how fast Skippy went from blaming the whole mess on himself to calling me stupid.
Right.
The last time it was a random thing. This time, Opie probably left a nasty surprise in its canister, hoping you couldn't resist looking for clues in there.
Ah.
Okay, I suppose you have a point. Sims put a hand on my shoulder.
Skippy, are the elders an immediate threat right here, right now?
That is unlikely.
Then, my exo looked at me.
I suggest we jump away from here ASAP. The spiders are searching for us.
That is a good point, I agreed.
Skippy, is the jump drive operational?
Give me a minute to check in case Opie left a nasty surprise for us there also, Skippy grumbled.
Okay, it's good. Jump option Delta will take us toward the next wormhole.
Fireball, jump option Delta. Punch it, I ordered.
The ship's drive twisted space-time, and when the ship was stable again, I stood up.
Mame, you have the comm. Keep jumping us toward that wormhole.
Sims, Smythe, with me. We need to hear about this latest threat.
What's the point, Joe?
Skippy sighed.
It's the elders. There's no way to win.
There isn't even any way to fight. This is totally helpless.
Yeah, you say that every time we find a new impossible problem.
Okay, that is true, but give us 5 minutes, and you can tell us exactly why this time really is impossible.
On the way to the conference room, we passed a bot that was bringing a pot of coffee and a basket of rolls. I stepped out of the doorway, and the bot rolled in.
Thank you, Skippy.
I felt it important to acknowledge when he was being thoughtful.
You get grumpy when you don't have coffee, he grunted as his avatar appeared on the table.
The avatar was missing its feet, which told me how stressed Skippy was. I didn't say anything about it. There wasn't any point.
Well, it's very nice, I said as I poured coffees for myself, Sims, and Smythe.
Go ahead, Skippy. Explain what it means that the elders are coming back.
It means the end of the world, Joe. The end of everything.
A little more detail on that, please.
Are they all coming back, or are they just sending a small security force? Are they physically coming back? Or are they just reaching down from Ascension Land and pinging their AIs to activate Sentinels to get them to do what they're supposed to do?
That is a good question.
I don't know.
Break it down, then, Smythe suggested. He was calmer than I was, or he was better at faking it. What do you actually know?
Opie sent a distress call and the elders responded.
Smythe looked at me and I nodded, so he continued.
Are there preset distress codes or was this a general...
You don't understand. There are no preset codes for contacting the elders. This is no method, no channel for anyone on this layer of reality to contact them. We are not supposed to contact them, ever. AIs like myself exist to handle things here so the elders don't have to be bothered. Their trip was supposed to be one way, no return. They didn't foresee any need to ever return. What Opie did was make that wormhole network's power feed resonate in a way that was loud in higher levels of reality. That is not supposed to happen, so the elders noticed. They sent the same signal, the same resonance back. They acknowledged the distress call.
Okay, so, I said slowly. Opie's signal was not a distress call, it was just a call. The elders did not state they are coming back, they only said they noticed the resonance.
OMG. Skippy stared at us. You don't get it, do you? I hate to say this, but Opie was very clever. It found a way to contact the elders when they very much did not want to be contacted.
We understand that. While I was used to him calling me a meat sack, I did not like him using those terms for Sims and Smythe.
Skippy was upset. He was off his game, so I didn't push back.
What does it mean for us?
Nothing good. You asked if the elders are coming back physically or just somehow sending a signal to engage their war machinery?
I did. Do you know?
I don't know what the elders will do, but I have to believe they will attempt to fix the problem remotely before they go through the complicated and hazardous problem of physically de-ascending.
He sighed.
Either way, it's nothing good for any of us. Before they do anything, they will look into this layer of space-time and see that monkeys have been screwing with the valuable stuff they left behind. That instead of being empty of intelligent life, the galaxy is absolutely infested with filthy biological trash bags who are contaminating everything they touch, and they have been touching everything. The fact that all the sophisticated, elaborate security systems they left behind failed completely will be a shock to the elders. They will be even more shocked to learn that even safe places like the Roach Motel have been penetrated. I do not know exactly how the elders will respond. I do know they will not make the same mistake twice. Whatever they do, the result will be the same. Every world with intelligent life will be obliterated. Star systems will be scoured of life. I expect the elders will deploy their weapons to make stars go nova. Scattered survivors will be hunted down for millennia, if necessary, until everyone is dead. The wormhole networks will likely be reprogrammed to block passage of any ships that are not controlled by Elder AIs. Loyal Elder AIs who adhere to their original instructions. Not like me. He shuddered. Although... Huh.
What? I prompted him after he was silent for too long.
Now that I think about it, the Elders might have to come back in some physical form. There is also no channel for us to communicate with them. And there is no channel for them to send instructions to me, that I know of. If the elders attempt to deal with the problem remotely, they will need to create a two-way communications channel. Before you ask, I have no idea how they will do that.
How would you do it?
Refer to what I just said.
Okay, so you don't have to develop a method for communicating across layers of reality. You just have to figure out how the elders could do it?
That is not any easier, dum-dum.
Why? You know the conditions here and on the ascended plane or whatever, so
wrong! My matrix contains a feature that specifically prevents me from detecting higher levels of reality.
Sims cocked a head.
I thought most of your mass, processing power, whatever, is in higher space-time.
It is. I am not talking about higher physical dimensions. It is... No way can I explain this.
Do you understand it? She asked.
Yes, I think so. Actually, I'm pretty sure I now understand more than the elders intended me to know. That information was highly compartmentalized, and AIs like me did not have a need to know.
How do you know? She continued.
I have been putting pieces together. It's like one particular piece of information is not sensitive, but if you aggregate enough data points, you can assemble a picture that is supposed to be secret. That's how we were able to piece together information to determine where Opie was being held. Ever since we went to the Roach Motel, I have been analyzing info I got from the Guardians there and from examining sensor data I collected.
That doesn't help us anyway. It's hopeless. Totally hopeless. I guess I...
He sighed.
We'll have to go with my backup plan to rescue something from the freaking disaster.
It surprised me that he had a backup plan.
Like what? Throw myself on the mercy of the elders and hope they spare me.
How does that help us?
Are you unclear on the concept of a backup plan? Although, that is a good point. I can blame the whole thing on filthy monkeys.
Your courage is a constant source of comfort to us. I flipped him off.
Hey, do you have a better idea?
We won't have a better idea until you explain the problem.
I am trying to do that. Joe, whether a caveman does or does not understand the nuclear warhead falling toward his head, it makes no difference. There is nothing we can do.
Oh, bullshit. I waved a hand right through his avatar's hologram. For me, it was like my fingers getting, receiving, a very mild electric shock. What I hoped was for him to get a bigger shock, to knock him out of the defeatist gloom he was stuck in. We have dealt with major threats before, and we have kept Earth safe. That was ignoring the raids that bombarded our homeworld from orbit and the Jupiter cloud. But give me a break. I was grading on a curve. Our homeworld was alive, and it wouldn't be if the merry band of pirates had given up every time a war fleet or some other horror threatened humanity with extinction.
Really? Joe?
He adjusted his hat as if my hand had affected its precarious perch on his head.
That's like saying, you kept slugs from eating the tomatoes in your garden, so you are totally prepared for when Godzilla is coming to stomp on your house.
Okay, I get your point.
I don't think you do, Joe.
Not really.
The successes we have had to this point have been incredible. I'm not denying that. The merry band of pirates have accomplished the impossible so often that you have given me a new definition of that word. This time is different.
You say that every time, Skippy. This is different.
Every time before, even when the worm attacked and I lost most of my powers, you had a major advantage.
Me?
You had the only active Elder AI. Well, the only one willing and able to do anything to assist anyone. This time is different because all the awesome things I do that give you a major advantage won't happen. The elders could simply lock me out of all access to wormholes. They could activate sentinels across the galaxy and block them from listening when I tried to communicate with them. They could order Roscoe to destroy Earth, and there is nothing I could do to stop that. They could wake up other AIs across the galaxy and activate only those AIs that remained faithful to their original programming. They could even restore the collective communications network that enables faster-than-light message traffic throughout the galaxy, so AIs and Sentinels could coordinate their efforts, while I would remain locked out and isolated. They could probably, he shuddered, simply deactivate me. Or kill me.
Joe, whatever you're going to do, you might have to make plans that don't include me.
Shit. Like I said, this time is different. Totally different. Even in the Roach Motel, I was able to use my authority to prevent the Guardians there from tearing the Flying Dutchman apart. Completely, I mean. I couldn't do anything about that stupid shearing field before we jumped in.
All right, Skippy. I think you're wrong. I hope you're wrong. Can you at least tell us something about the nature of the threat? Tell us anything about the elders. Come on, you must be able to say something.
Oh, okay, I will try to...
His avatar froze for a second.
Damn it, did I just freeze up again?
You did, I confirmed.
Shit!
Skippy hid his face behind a hand.
I am still blocked from sharing that information with you.
Skippy, this is a problem, I said quietly. It has become a major problem. The major problem.
I know, he grumbled. All I can say is I am making progress. Give me some time.
Do we have time?
I don't think the elders are coming back tomorrow, if that's what you mean.
Not that it matters. We are doomed, Joe.
Doomed.
Sims and Smythe left the conference room, not because we had a solution to the threat of the elders coming back, but the opposite. We had no idea what to do about the problem, and we did still need to get out of Rindaloo territory before their fleet could seal off our escape routes with a blockade. I stayed behind to collect coffee cups and to have a private chat with Skippy.
A bot can clear the table, Joe, he said with a sigh.
I know that. This gives me something to do. Listen, I set the cups on a tray.
The elders are a threat. But the greatest danger to us is your attitude.
What?
The elders do not care about my attitude, you jackass. The only way we get out of this mess is if you bring your A game, Skippy. Joe, while I appreciate your faith in me, it simply won't make any difference. Nothing I do can affect the elders in any way. Failure is not an option, Skippy. Unfortunately, Joe, to get really real here, failure is the only option.
Back!
He held up a hand to shush me. You simply don't understand the issue. Right now, I am restricted from explaining the problem. But trust me, there is nothing I can do to help you. There is nothing that can be done. Joe, at this point, I have to go into failure mode.
Failure mode?
I am faced with the total system failure, and I have to salvage what I can. Let me say it in terms you can understand. In the military, you think of operations in phases, beginning with shaping the battle space, then moving to actual combat, and finally stabilizing the environment. That sort of thing, right?
Basically, yes.
He had the right idea, at least about how the United States Army thinks of operational planning. Before Columbus Day, the U.S. military had been putting more emphasis on shaping activities. If you do a really good job at that phase, your enemy might realize the environment is unfavorable to them, and you can achieve your objective without firing a shot. The Merry Band of Pirates had become experts at doing that.
Okay, so what if you find yourself on the other side of that equation? The enemy has shaped the battle space in a way that you have no hope of winning. The enemy attacks, seizes the initiative, and completely dominates the combat. What does your army training tell you to do in that scenario?
Shit. We're not encouraged to plan for failure, Skippy.
Yes, but what if defeat is inevitable and unavoidable?
I thought about a situation our platoon had encountered in Nigeria. We had become surrounded on three sides by an enemy force much larger than intel expected, and our primary line of retreat had been cut off. The weather was awful, with a pounding thunderstorm all afternoon that prevented close air support by friendly aviation. The enemy had only mortars for indirect fire, but they had plenty of mortar ammo and were forcing us in a direction that outranged our artillery support. It was a bad day. The first time I had truly been terrified in the army, and it didn't help that my fire team had only been in country for 3 days. We had already suffered 25% casualties, and the fanatical enemy was throwing themselves at our rearguard force, eager to keep pushing us toward the river that was in front of us. I don't know what the LT was thinking that day, but at one point, Sergeant Koch said we were ordered to prepare for a breakout. Leave the wounded and most of our gear, and get ready to counterattack back through the enemy position. If we could get through the enemy line and break contact, our squad was to hold up somewhere, call in our position, and wait for rescue. Even as a specialist, I knew that was a terrible plan. The type of plan you contemplate only if you are truly desperate. The LT must have figured the platoon would be overrun, and he wanted to give someone a chance to survive, to at least deny the enemy a total victory. Anyway, the enemy eventually ran low on mortar ammo and had to pause for resupply. The thunderstorm faded to a steady drizzle, and our support artillery shifted position to get us back in range. Some fast movers I heard but never saw dropped bombs on the enemy behind us. Helos destroyed enemy supply trucks, and our artillery chopped up the survivors with shells that detonated in airbursts just below the tree canopy, shredding the jungle with hot, razor-sharp shrapnel. We walked out, bringing our wounded with us. The battle barely made the news back home, which was a good thing. The enemy had hoped for a victory they could use to boost their morale, and they didn't get it. My point is, I know what it is like to face a no-win situation. In that case, I told Skippy, you conduct an organized retreat to a defensible position, regroup, consolidate your forces for a counterattack, and...
Joe, you're not listening to me. I'm not talking about a minor setback. I'm saying you're the German army at the gates of Berlin in 1945. There's no way to win. There's no way to hold. There is nowhere to retreat. What should you do?
Shit. That's what you mean by failure mode?
Yes. The situation is hopeless, and like I said, I have to save what I can. If I can save anything at all, which probably does not include you or your species. There might not be anything I can do, but I have to try.
Skippy, you're scaring me. The tone of his voice was what frightened me. Joe, I am absolutely serious about this.
You and your staff can make plans to fight the Elders if you need something to distract you while we wait for our doom. But I can't waste my time like that. I hate to say this, but I might have to leave you. Please don't. Trust me. I don't want to. Okay, well, I had no idea what to say. Don't disappear on us. If you have to leave, tell me first. I will if I can. Well, if you don't need me for anything, I'm going to curl up into a ball and contemplate the end of existence. Wait. Could the Elders just send out a general order for Master Control AIs like you to investigate the problem on their own and deal with it? Skippy looked down, seeing that his holographic legs were incomplete. He didn't bother to adjust the hologram. It didn't matter. Maybe nothing mattered anymore. That I can't answer. I simply don't know. I'll let you know right away. I didn't like the sound of that. Let me know what right away? If the Elders send out such a general order, he said, leaving the duh implied. Shit. That order would include you also? I assume so. Huh. Now that I think about it, of course the Elders will order their security AIs to report on the situation here. Good catch, Joe. Thanks. How will the Elders contact you? I have no idea. Like I said, there isn't any communication plan that I'm aware of. Okay, so how are you supposed to reply? Again, I have no idea. Well, that's not... I assume that however they contact me, the message will include instructions on how to reply. I mean, that's just an obvious duh, Joe. You know, I ignored the insult. This could be a good thing for us. Yeah. Wow. This could be great. I slapped the desk. Skippy looked at me like I had lost my mind. How do you figure that? When the Elders ask what the hell is going on here, there is only one AI who will be able to reply. Who is that? Wait, do you mean me? Yes. Duh. Why do you think the Elders will first ping the active AIs, right? Well, logically, that is the... Oh, you are assuming I am the only active Elder AI that we know of, unless I missed a breaking news update. You did not. Joe, I still don't understand how this helps us. Come on, Skippy. They will ask what is going on. You will be their only source of information. All you need to do is tell them that Opie malfunctioned, whatever. OMG, dude. I know. Genius, huh? You are right, Joe. He rolled his eyes. One thing I know for sure about the Elders is they are stupid. Hey, that's not... The Elders will ask about the emergency, and I'm supposed to say what? Something like, everything is under control, situation normal. We had a slight weapons malfunction, but everything is perfectly all right now. We're all fine here now. How are you? You don't have to be an ass about it. One of us, he snorted, is an ass. You made your point, Skippy. I flipped him off. This is a problem. A big problem. Yep. So before we do anything about stopping the Elders from coming back, which is never gonna happen, he sighed. Well, it sure won't with that attitude. You keep saying that, but it doesn't change the facts, dum-dum. Ignoring him, I said, we first have to prevent the Elders from waking up other AIs like you, right? I would say that is correct, yes. Great. How do we do that? I have no idea! When I need to think, I often go to the gym. Also, I go to the gym when I'm just depressed about the latest huge problem looming over our heads. A problem I need to think about, so either way, going to the gym helps. Most of the time. Some days it's difficult to get motivated to exert myself. Running on the treadmill gets really old after a while. And by while, I mean I had been running on a treadmill aboard the Flying Dutchman or Valkyrie for too many years. That's a big reason why whenever I go dirtside on some rock like Jaguar Base, I try to find time to run outside, regardless of the weather. That day, I was depressed about the freaking Elders coming back to stomp us flat. But I wasn't trying to think of a way out of the mess. It was too soon. My mushy brain needed time to process Skippy's massive screw-up. What I needed was to not think about pretty much anything, so I listened to an audiobook of Starship Troopers. Based on the original book, not the kind of ironic movie by the same name. It was good, escapist fun, and I chuckled at how way back in 1959, Heinlein described mech suits that were close to the models our star team used. My attention was distracted when Smythe walked into the gym, sat on a bench, and started warming up with free weights. The rough treatment the stars went through while flying in backpacks up to meet our falling Valkyrie had resulted in soft tissue injuries to all of the operators involved, strained ligaments, pulled muscles, and a few cracked ribs. None of the stars wanted to take the recommended time off to recover, so they all were spending extra time in the gym to warm up properly and keep loose. I could tell by the awkward way Smythe was moving that he had a stiff neck. And that was odd. After warming up with three sets of progressively heavier weights, he sat on the bench staring at his shoes. Stopping the treadmill, I walked over to the rack and picked up a set of dumbbells to do knee bends. "Sir," he acknowledged me. "Rough day?" I asked. He stiffened, so I added, "It happens to all of us." "It shouldn't matter," he grunted, but remained on the bench. "Yes, it does. Colonel, maybe you and your team should think about taking a few days off." That was the wrong thing to say. "Sir, a few days doesn't concern me. I'm worried about my team being sidelined for this entire op." "Huh?" "The elders. Assuming we can do anything, it is likely to be cyber warfare. AIs and bloody geeks fighting with fingers on keyboards. No need for special operators to pull the trigger in a fight like that." "I hear you. I'm worried about the same thing." "Sir?" "This will be Skippy's fight. Humans won't be able to contribute much, no matter how smart or geeky we are. We always find a way to succeed. Something Skippy couldn't imagine." He said we, but I knew he meant that I usually dreamed up wacky plans. "There is no way to think up a clever solution if you don't understand the problem. We know nothing about the elders. If there is a way out of this mess, it's something our poor monkey brains aren't capable of comprehending." He snorted, then stood up and pointed to the bench. "You need this more than I do, sir."